Welcome along to a slice of golf, if you like, extra slice, where we're talking about all things fantasy golf for the week ahead and the week that was. So we're talking about last week we had the WGC match play in Austin. We're going to come on to that first. Obviously, Billy Horschel takes the win over Scotty in the final, annoyingly, from my point of view, because Scotty was literally my only hope of redemption from another awful, awful week. But before we go into me, let's dive into it. Let's just, no mucking about. Let's go in. How do we get on? Chris, talk to me. What happened?
Yeah, I was quite confident with my team. I told you that, guys, that last week, didn't I? The only person that I was unconfident with was Todd, and he, granted, was my lowest scorer, but only by 1 point. So there was one moment that I thought on day one, this could go either way. Then on day three, I knew I had two people that were missing that had already lost their first two rounds. And I was in a situation where I could have been down to zero players. And I thought, this is going to be an absolute disaster unless Rahm sorts himself out. And Rahm eventually sorted himself out. Answer. I mean, A, was cruising day one and day two. Cruising in the third round against Hovland. I messaged Ben being like, I'm a bit unsure. I'm a bit upset to see Hovland lose because I want to see him putting in some good match play before the Ryder Cup. One, two holes to play. Answer was one up against Hovland. Lost 2-1, didn't he? So I spoke too soon on that one. Answer then didn't go through. Brilliant. So I had Rahm, Casey, Jason Day, Zalatoris, Answer, Todd, and Rahm. Obviously, he made it through to round five. By the way, seven rounds of golf in 5 days for people.
Yeah. Insane. It took me too long, I suppose, to actually figure out how many holes of golf you would have had to have played if you made it all the way through to the final. Does it work out 127 holes?
I haven't done the maths.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I think it's clear to see when we were talking about it and we thought, cool, that's going to be a lot of golf if you've got playoff golf to play and then you make it all the way to the final. Well, it showed that even the pros kind of struggle with that level of golf, because look at Patrick Cantlay. First 2 days was what, 15 under par combined? Billy Horschel's final round was one over par. So that shows, you know, the level of golf on Sunday, they did look absolutely exhausted going through that final round. So
Casey, I was super confident about Casey. No, see you later. Jason Day, loss, won his third round. Zalatoris played reasonably well. He was one of those ones that I had in the team as a, not actually expecting him to go through, but wanted to pick me up some points, and he pretty much did that, but that relied heavily on the top three picks that I had going through, which they didn't. So, and then, yeah, Answer and Todd. So, yeah, pretty shitty for me. Bottom place finish in terms of us three winning. Great, fantastic. Back to normality for me there. So, yeah, but thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed the format.
He's peaked for the season. He's had his handful of wins, and now it's back to the relegation battle.
And now I'm done.
I mean, we talked about it on the main pod, but... to be honest, a lot of players could have been forgiven for having not amazing weeks this week, because the number of top-ranked players that didn't even make it through to the weekend was insane this weekend. So if you're listening along and thinking, oh, I didn't have a great weekend, don't worry, you're in very good company. Benjamin, how did you get on?
For me, after last week and kind of talking about it and it being highlighted that I'd not actually come in a placed position kind of in the main league, I kind of wasn't surprised about that. I kind of knew it, so I wasn't going into the week feeling confident based on the fact that, well, you know, I've clearly not been doing too great, but I picked up my first placing, so I just snuck into the final Champions League spot, which got me some money, come fifth. I pipped whoever it was, guy or girl, who came sixth by 0.1 points. Not even a whole point. Couldn't have beaten them by any less. So I finished on 517.1. They finished on 517. So nice thing to wake up to kind of Monday. Four didn't get out of the group stages. No great
surprise. Pause. You did place. I have had a message prior to recording this from a different Gallant. I actually had several messages over the course of the weekend. From not even from Gallant, from different people within the group being like, that foulless that's in first, second or third at various points, that's not Ben, is it? Is he got a brother or something? I was like, it is not Ben. I can confirm that. And yes, he has a brother, Callum, who came in second in the end.
He did, yeah.
How did that go down in the Fowler's household?
I mean, obviously, he all weekend he was letting me know exactly what was going on. But as I will say to you what I said to him, first is first, second is nowhere. So it doesn't matter where you come second, third, fourth or fifth. We all make the Champions League around here, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, in terms of money, fifth is much less than seven.
Yeah, sure. But no, I let him have that one. Let him bask in the glory for 1 week. As you can imagine, he let me know at every single opportunity all weekend exactly what was going on, because he was hammering me at one stage.
There was one moment where I think it was on Friday morning. I was 20th. Callum was 19th. Yes. I messaged him in the morning being like, oof, this is going to be close. By the end of the day, he was first. I was 28th. I was like, this this has gone the wrong way.
could not have gone in opposite directions.
That's like the situation where you're on like 17 points after the front nine and you think you could be on for possibly like your best ever round. And then you shoot like 7 points on the back nine.
Yeah, very good. So yeah, I, along with kind of most, pretty much everyone playing DraftKings this weekend, your expensive players pretty much, well, for the majority of people, did nothing. I was thankful that I picked John Rahm. He was the only seed in the top 20 to make it through the group stages. So that picked up a few points. And the only other player to make it was my budget pick, my real kind of basement value, which is Victor Perez. I do like Perez, liked his game, and I did pick him because I saw the price and I was like, that seems awfully low for a player of his quality, and he delivered.
I mean, he didn't just make it through. He was looking awesome through the event.
Did either of you two watch the semi on the Saturday evening? He looked absolutely shattered. It kind of looked like it had got to him that many rounds had clearly taken it out of him. But again, promising for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, again, mentioned
he's
that
now in the business, isn't he? He's now well and truly in there, isn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. And then... well, I suppose let's wrap it up. Let's go there. Yeah, another. To be honest, it wasn't even disappointing or good. It was just kind of like an irrelevant week for Williams, because just not really battling at the bottom, not really battling at the top, just kind of there in the background. Both of my big money picks for the week did absolutely nothing. Sungjae was pretty useless. Was actually my lowest scoring player of the entire team. So that
how many points?
Good.
How many points did he end
47.
Up on? That is low. That is low. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he won one up on the first day.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, Sanjay's looking quite good. Westwood, I kind of thought, oh, he'll come back and win the second and third ones. Lowry, I thought, will come back. Bryson, I was sure was going to come back. No. None of them did. Bryson didn't really do a lot of notes, so it didn't really help me at all. And then, yeah, Westwood, Kokrak, Lowry, all gone before the weekend. So it came down to Scottie Scheffler, and very, not fortunately, because he played very well, but luckily for me, made it all the way through to the final, which got me some very, very healthy additional points, which just propped me up into mid-table by the end of the weekend, which... doesn't do a lot for me in terms of the fantasy league, but in terms of the podcast groupings, it does still make me nice stay in second place, which is very, very important.
Yeah, those Scheffler points were key for you jumping.
Scheffler points.
I was watching it being like, we've got a slice of golf like 1v1 here, and I was just like, oh, come on, this is going poorly.
Yeah, none of the ding dong battles between us really ever materialised, did they, over this weekend? Because we were pretty much all onto a loser from the start. But you know what? A lot of people, we said a lot of people won't have scored well because of the big players going out, but we did have some players scoring very, very well. So in terms of the Sunday Red League winners, in terms of the $2 matchup, we had Dan Smith taking the win, followed by Mr. Callum Fallis. And Tom Agala in third, for those of you that missed that, because Ben was too busy booing his brother. And in the free league, Sean Casey takes the win, 602 points, which is pretty impressive for a weekend.
Sean Casey is now regretting that he wasn't in the $2 league.
Really, really should have entered the paid league, because he would have got.
However, we all know that you win one in the free league and you go, you get your confidence up, you enter the $2 league, finish bottom.
Yeah, next absolutely. Week. and he was again followed by Callum Fowlis in second place in the free league, and Tim Domangalo again in third place in the free league. So congratulations to those three. We'll see if you can back it up this weekend, because it's the Valero Texas Open. A pretty decent field, actually. I was expecting it to be a bit of a, I was expecting kind of there to be no one really playing this week after having potentially played seven rounds of golf over the last weekend. But
and the week before the Masters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Didn't even put that out there. But it's an interesting field. I had a lot of fun actually picking my team this week. Now, again, usually about this time every week, I'll declare whether I'm confident or not about my team. Not particularly confident, if I'm honest with you, this week. Okay. And that's purely based on, not actually based on my team, just based on my own personal form, which is average at best. So that's a personal reflection of my motivation and apprehension for the weekend. I'll come into my team in a little bit. Ben, let's go come to you first. Who have you gone for this week? How much research have you done? What's your tactics been for picking?
Very little research, not going to lie, because the last time I properly did research, a couple of weeks ago, where I spent a good 20 minutes, half an hour on it, I was rubbish. So this week, I've just gone, I've just picked players that I quite like and I think will do quite well this week, or players that I'd seen do well last week. So top of the bill, this is home state. We've spoken about when he's going to win. Jordan Spieth, you're hearing it here first. He's getting the win this weekend. He's taking home the big money. So he is 10,700 this week. I thought, right, get him in because he's going to win. Home state, get the home support.
slightly he is going to win. You heard it here.
Basically got it already, hopefully. Second up, I've got Abraham Anser. 9,700, you know, as Chris alluded to earlier on, was playing excellent golf until the final two or three holes of the match play. So it's something I did read today was, you know, if he gets the putter hot because his ball striking is pretty good, he could challenge. 9,700. Spieth was 10-7. Answer was 9-7. Okay. My third pick, again, it's, I'm going to say it started falling off pretty quick, but in comparison to previous weeks, like who you get for that money is it goes pretty quick.
Yeah.
So next up, I had Siwoo Kim at 8,900. So finished ninth at the Players. So in stroke play tournaments, you know, very difficult course, Sawgrass. So hoping he carries it over. Same guy we all picked for the last stroke play event. Patton Kizzai is going back in there. He just, when you look at his value each week, his average points per competition, points per fantasy, just smashes everyone else around him. So if you're looking for overall value, he's probably the best value pick across the whole competition. So for me, it was just a no-brainer. And then this left me real short on change. So I went with someone.
Yeah, that's two tens. No, a 10 and a 9, two eights.
8,900 for Siwoo Kim and Patton Kizzai's 7,200.
So how much you got left?
Well, this is where I invested in someone to just make the cut. You're probably not going to win. You're definitely not going to win because you're pretty ancient, but you're an excellent golfer. I went with Jim Furyk. Just make the cut. Just doesn't miss cuts.
I think that's
just get yourself through to the weekend, buddy. Just get those little points up. And then the final one was a really rogue pick, which could completely crash and burn or could see, you know, massive value jackpot. I went with Akshay Bhatia, 6,400. The lefty, George Gankus's boy. So after seeing him at Pebble Beach, he went off like an absolute steam train. And I just thought, you know, he's got the potential there, clearly. He's a young lad, skipping college to go to pros.
Yeah.
He's got game. So, you know, it's going to be inconsistent. It's, you know, likelihood of a young lad, but hopefully this week is he fires up. Yeah. That's the team this week.
I've done. Someone's just commented saying Evington, gents, and then corrected themselves, but evening. Good evening. We can't actually see who you are, by the way. It just comes up as a Facebook user. That doesn't help us too much. For those who are listening to the podcast, by the way, we are doing this live as well, just in case that sounds really bizarre. By the way, if you are just tuning in now, just as whoever this is, say hi, let us know that you're here. Let us know who you're picking as well. I read the usual DraftKings article this week. Although I'm going to level with you, this was about 30 minutes ago. I then had a 10-minute panic pick of my team. And there were a couple of players in there, Ben, that were mentioned that I now am regretting not putting in my team. So I've kind of gone for – the approach I've gone for this week is more similar to the Honda, where – it was the Honda that I won, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Where it was kind of like
– just drop that in there.
Don't go – yeah, just put it on it. Don't go for the top two, the 10,000s, like spread it a little bit more evenly. So I've gone two in the 9,000s, two in the 8,000s, and two in the 7,000s. Goal of being get everyone to make the cut. And then kind of go, I was kind of looking at their performance. This is kind of one of those events, Tim, you're right. This is one of those events that's a bit mixed. Like there's a couple of really decent guys, and then there's like it's a bit of a mixed field. So I kind of just went back through and looked at those types of events on their log and was like, how have they done in those types of events? And I've kind of picked players that perform well in those kind of events where the big guys aren't there. So I've gone for Ryan Palmer up first, 9,400. To be fair to him, he's been very consistent. Just in hasn't when did he last play?
He played the match today because he played against John Rahm, didn't he?
Yeah,
but that won't show up on DraftKings though.
Right, fine. So Ryan Palmer. Up there, Brendan Steele, he's basically made the team because of the Honda. That's why he's gone in there. So he was 9,100. What was he, second? Third at the Honda. And again, just in these events where there aren't the big guys, like the Sony Open, fourth. You know, even the Arnold Palmer, 18th. So like, he's obviously got it in there. I just feel like he could have it this week. There's a new player on my team, player that I've not had in the team before, Cam Davis. So... excited to see what he can do again, just in the events where there aren't lots. Although saying that, the American Express, he finished third, so he's a bit of a I'm not sure about, don't know enough about him pick. Chris Kirk making it in from the Honda, so excited to bring him back in again. He was at the top 25 at the Honda. Russell Knox in, mainly because every time I don't pick him, I see him playing and doesn't do anything like worldly, but makes the cut and scores a half decent amount of points. And again, like just does okay in the events where the big guys aren't there. Final pick, Harry Higgs. Also not been in my team before. And I'm excited to throw him in there. The one thing that I read was that people who perform well at the Safeway Open perform well here, apparently. I couldn't find many people's stats for the Safeway Open on DraftKings. Harry Higgs was the only one that I could find with a reference to the Safeway Open, and he finished second, so he went straight in. Why he's gone in. So that's the lineup. You've got Ryan Palmer, Brendan Steele, Cam Davis, Chris Kirk, Harry Higgs, and Russell Knox. So no big gap.
Always tempted to go with Harry Higgs, but I think that's mostly because I quite like him and not necessarily because he's a...
Entirely because of that video. Of the golf cart.
Character.
As mentioned, I have absolutely no idea what my team's going to do this week. I really don't. I probably against better judgment went with two big name, big value picks and then tried to squeeze everybody else in. That was pretty much my logic. My number one pick was actually Corey Connors this week.
Nice.
Won here in 2019. He's in good form. He's currently 28th in FedEx Cup standings, with seventh at the players, third Arnold Palmer. So he's a man in form. I thought he might. I'm kind of surprised he's playing this week. I would have thought he'd just have a week off. But
Is he in the Masters already? Yeah, he's qualified already.
I think so.
The reason that there's quite a few of the big boys or bigger guys here is because this is the last. Some of them aren't even qualified for the Masters yet, right? So
I considered putting Ricky in because of that, but
not going to happen.
No, you can't.
So Corey Connors goes in first. Tony Finau.
Yeah, strong.
He's pretty much the number one pick in the field for this week.
He's going to be a guaranteed top 10, isn't he?
I think so. It's...
He was crap last week, and he really let me down.
It's match play. You can't compare.
Plus, with his early exit from last weekend, the rumor is that he's going to get to the course. He's flown in. He's got to this course early this week. So I reckon he'll perform very well. Now, after that, I'm going to call them second chances because there's people that have let me down in the past and I've allowed them to crawl their way back into my team.
Two people so far. So have you got four second chances?
No. Two of them are coming back with their tail between their legs. Number one who's coming back with his tail between his legs is Doug Gim, who massively let me down last time I picked him. I've cooled down a little bit. Again, if you look at his FedEx Cup ranking, which I think 68, it's so far ahead of his world ranking, which just tells you about how good his form has been this season. I'll put it down to one poor event that he had when I picked him, so I'll give him a second chance on this one. Nate Lashley is coming in this week. 11 of 16 cuts made. He has some good results. Played very well at Pebble Beach recently. I know the course is in no way similar to what he's going to be playing in Texas, but we'll see how he goes. That was very much a pick on faith. There was no real science or logic or research went into that one at all. After that, Patton Kizzire.
Oh, okay.
He's in mine as well. We talked about him a lot. Yeah, we talked about him a lot two weeks ago.
Yeah,
the stats speak for himself.
And then he missed the
cut. Other thing that's interesting is the very little amount of reading and research I did around this week is that apparently this course plays very similar to some of the major courses in Mexico.
There's some good research to find that stat out. That's excellent.
So Patton Kizzire has played very well at the Sony Open and the Mayakoba Classic, both which were hosted in Mexico. So there you go. There's a little bit of insight for you there. So he should compete well with the course. And the final pick for me.
Sorry, it was Hawaii.
Sorry. You're right. It was Hawaii. But apparently it's similar to this course.
Right.
Because apparently the course in Mexico and Hawaii can be the same. Seems odd, but there you go. Anyway, and the final pick for me, I'm going to give him a chance because he had a bit of a shocker on the last 2 days at the Honda Classic is Aaron Wise. I know he had a bit of a blow up, but if you consider he at one point was six ahead at that in that field, he's obviously got his game's obviously at a good level. I think he's going to come roaring back. So Corey Connors, Tony Finau, Doug Gim, Nate Lashley, Patton Kizzire, Aaron Wise are my lineup this week. So
James,
I think that's tight. Between the three of us this week.
My big risk is not having a $10,000 player in there. And I'm aware
that
of that.
That is a risk.
I'm fully aware of that. But I was just like, do you, because then you end up in the situation that you're in, Ben, where you've got two 6,000s in there. And that worries me.
Yeah, but I'd be more worried about the fact that you're rock bottom of the league between us.
Yeah, I agree. I should have got all out to win. You're right.
Just each week, score. I think you set your tactics and then just do the complete reverse of that. And I think you'll be good.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So, slice of golf, scores on the doors heading into this weekend. Ben, coasting clear, top of the pile on 14 points at the moment, with myself and Chris battling out for the toilet bowl. Myself on 6 points, Chris on five. Sure. So even though I'm giving Chris quite the abuse of being last, I'm literally 1 point above him. I'm not doing that well. So basically, I need big points this week. So if you two could kindly just have absolute shockers of weeks, that would be deeply appreciated. But
I'm not willing to guarantee that. But I can totally feel where you're coming from for sure. I'm in a similar place.
Once again, as ever, for anyone listening to this, we are in no way experts. We do not have our ears to the ground on this. Do not listen to this thinking we know something that you don't. We absolutely do not. We are literally stabbing in the dark. We don't know what we're doing. Do not come to us with complaints that the people we've mentioned haven't played very well, because they probably haven't, because we haven't done any research. So there you go.
That was an excellent disclaimer. Well done, Tim. Yeah. I'm pleased that you've done that.
Gamble responsibly by not listening to us, basically.
Let's call Callum Palace. Can we get Callum Palace in for a guest appearance?
Not a chance.
Right, fellas, anything more before we leave for this week?
No, I would just, the only thing I'll say is, if you are listening, if you've made it this far, if you're watching it on any of the lives or even on the recaps, hit that like button, leave a comment, because I'll go back through and go into the comments. Oh, big news. Tim Williams has joined Facebook. So Tim Williams is now in the Facebook group. You will now be able to, I might even tag him in this post later on tonight. So you
can say, chat me up. You'll be able to chat me up. Thank you. That's not why I've joined.
There's been some crazy things happen in this group. But Tim Williams is now
in the group. Website.
But yeah, if you're watching and you're here, hit the like button, let us know that you're here, and leave a comment, and we'll catch you next week in like a day for the next episode of the pod.
Good luck for the week ahead, and we'll see you next week.
See you later.
See ya.